Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and if you enjoy old books, you're going to enjoy the class session today, because we're going to be talking about an old book that is filled with Sunday school lessons. I'm going to open this up, and we're going to study some of these Sunday school lessons, and I'll describe this old book to you. Now, before we do, I want to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the old book I want to talk to you about today is a little old Sunday school book that is called Elam's Notes on Bible School Lessons, 1927. Improved Uniform International Series. Now, this old book has sat on my shelf for many years, and I pulled it off, and I'm going to give it life again by way of this radio Bible school as I read these old Sunday school lessons to you. If you've ever wondered what it was that your grandparents or perhaps your great-grandparents studied when they were in Sunday school, well, this is it. And this is the reason they had such a knowledge of the Bible. Don't you wish you knew the Bible the way they did? Well, you can if you'll do what they did. You see, they would attend Bible school, and they would go to preaching services, and many of them would return in the middle of the week for prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings, and they discussed the Bible, and they read the Bible, and they had great respect for that word. And not only that, they would study their lessons between classes and read their Bible to themselves, sometime first thing in the morning, and sometimes in the evening, in the quiet of the evening. And they didn't have all the modern conveniences we had. They might light up an old coal oil lantern or something like that. I've heard that, I think it was Abraham Lincoln that used to read by the coals of the fireplace when he was educating himself. And no doubt he read the Bible along with other books. And so you can come to a knowledge of the Bible. It really, there's parts of it that are hard to understand, but really, you need to remember, it was written for us. It wasn't written to a bunch of Bible scholars. And a lot of times these Bible scholars, while they can be very helpful in helping us understand portions of the Bible, sometimes their great learning gets in their way. Jesus thanked God that these things had been hid from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. He means by that the humble. And if we are humble and studious and will read the Bible with care, we can come to a great understanding of the mind of God. These old Sunday school lessons were written to help us do that. This little Sunday school book I have, it is about 5.5 inches across the top, about 8 inches tall. It's a little over an inch thick. It is hardbound, cloth bound, with a green cloth that I'd call maybe a woodland green, but it is very faded. It's black embossed with the letters on the cover. And it's a little bit ragged, as you can see, and worn, meaning that it had been used. It hasn't just been sitting on the shelf. Sometime I pick an old book up like this, and I wonder, now, who has read this book before me? I do like reading nice, new, clean, fresh books where the very pages crackle when you open them. Old books aren't like that. Old books have a certain smell to them. If you don't know that smell, you might need to go to a library, maybe your church library, or maybe your own, and pick up an old book and smell that smell. And think of others that may have read that book before you. Now, in this little Sunday school book, there are the names of former students of this. The name of one is Mary Sharp, written on the inside cover. It is written in pencil. Below that is a stamp, William D. McClellan. He's called minister, so he must have been a preacher. And as I turn this book and think of those that had read this before me, I don't know who Mary Sharp was or William McClellan was, but they were several travelers through these pages that I'm about to travel through. Perhaps I will get to meet them someday in heaven, and we'll talk about things that we have learned as we traveled down this road, one following the other. Now, I turn the page again, and I see this little Sunday school book is equipped with maps from the Bible Land. They're much like the maps you're going to find in the back of your Bible, although these are not in color, yet they're very excellent maps. They're different maps of the land of Israel. You see, you need different maps as you study the Bible because place names change and different places become more important and the divisions of the land become more important. This is a map of the land of Canaan that shows Jerusalem. It has the 12 tribes on there, and it has rings about Jerusalem every 20 miles, so you can go by this and see how far different places were from Jerusalem. And so you can kind of use Jerusalem as a center point and locate yourself variously across the map pages. It's called a radio map of the land of Canaan. This map was copyrighted back in 1889 by geographer May Powell. And I turn the page, and we have a map of the same land, but this is a map that indicates the way the land would have appeared during the empire of David and Solomon. And so it has the important name places for that time as well. And then on the facing page is another map of the same country, but this is taking us through time as things on the ground had changed over time, and this is called Palestine in the time of Christ. And then I turn the page, and there's a picture of E.A. Elam. I wish I could describe him to you. Some of you might remember Doc on Gunsmoke. I suppose he looks a little bit like that, the same kind of glasses. He's a bigger man than little Doc was. He's sitting there in a chair with his three-piece suit on and his tie with a calm repose and a little white mustache like Doc would have. And I would just imagine I would have loved to have heard him teach these lessons. He was a household name among churchgoers in his day, in the early 1900s. And so this is Elam's notes on Bible school lessons, 1927, the sixth annual volume of Improved Uniform International Series. E.A. Elam is the editor. It has the price, the single copy, postpaid, 95 cents. And then if you got five or more copies to the same address, 85 cents each. You could order these at that time from the Gospel Advocate Company in Nashville, Tennessee. These pages are very delicate, so I must turn them carefully as I go. There's a notice on the next page, and it tells us this. The Bible text and quotations used in this volume are taken from the Standard American Edition of the Revised Version, copyrighted 1901 by Thomas Nelson and Sons, and used by permission. Now, let me describe that to you. The Standard American Edition of the Revised Version. You see, in 1885, over in England, the old country, they got together and studied the text, the manuscripts they had found since the days of the King James Version, and they had revised the basic text for the Bible, and thought that it would be a good time to produce a fresh translation of the scriptures. And yet, as it came out as somewhat an updating of the King James Version. They really were taking from a newer text based on older manuscripts than the King James Version. The King James Version using an older text based on more recent manuscripts. And, well, if you don't follow all that, maybe I could explain it some other time. But it was quite a hit. There was an American committee that contributed to this and suggested various changes. And they said, well, we won't incorporate these changes in the English Revised Version, but you can come out with an American edition in 15 years. And so in 1901, the standard American edition of the Revised Version was produced, and today it is most commonly called the American Standard Version. The notice says, in preparing the lessons of this book and his Bible lessons for 26 years past, the author has drawn valuable information from all available commentaries, histories, dictionaries, chronological tables, etc., and has endeavored to give due credit in proper form for all direct quotations. But he wishes further to acknowledge his indebtedness to all those for information he has expressed in his own language. Above all, he is greatly indebted and most grateful to that thorough consciousness and most profound teacher of the Word of our God, Brother David Lipscomb, now resting from his labors while his works live after him. This work was copyrighted in 1926 by E.A. Elam and published by the Gospel Advocate Company, and printed in the United States in November of 1926, so that when January came around, they were able to be distributed to all of the churches, and when you would go to the Sunday school that morning, you'd receive this book brand new and begin the study of these lessons. They're divided into four quarters: January, February, and March. The lessons are going to be studies in the Christian life. For the months of April, May, and June, we're going to talk about the life and letters of Peter. And then from July, August, and September, we'll be studying early kings and prophets of Israel, from Samuel to Isaiah. And then that'll be the first half of that. It's actually a 6-month course. It'll go from July, August, September, October, November, and December. I know if I had received this new, I would have greatly anticipated what was to come. The lessons in this first quarter on the Christian life are going to be about the Christian, a follower of Jesus, the standard of Christian living, the Christian's use of the Bible, prayer in the Christian life, the Christian overcoming temptation, the practice of Christian stewardship, making our homes Christian, serving in and through the church, making the community Christian, a temperance lesson, sharing the good news, making the world Christian, the Christian hope, and then a review on studies in the Christian life. What a tremendous set of topics. And even though these were the Sunday schools of 1926, I tell you, these are things we need in 1923 and 1924, don't we? It'd be a good set of topics for a preacher to preach upon. This Sunday school book has a chart that gives a harmony of the Gospels, coming from what's called the Oxford Bible, and then after that, a supposed chronology of Acts of the Apostles, in which it attempts to date the major things that happen to the church from A.D. 30 to A.D. 97. And so in our next class, we're going to begin the first lesson of the first quarter, Sunday school lessons for January 2nd, 1920. 27.